Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
So if you'll pray with me, we're going to get started this morning with what God has for us. God, this morning as we come before you, we recognize that we live in a strange time. We live in a strange world. We live in a world that is far different than many of us remember from our childhood, and that is far different than many of us remember just a decade ago. And so, God, we ask now that you would give us your wisdom, you would give us your understanding, that you would guide us through your word, that you would speak to us, and that we would respond in faith. And it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. I did just a cursory search this week. I'm sure the results have changed somewhat. But I did a search and just typed in Christian in the search bar on Google News. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say I do know that Google News is not fair and unbiased reporting. Right. And if you're getting all your news from Google News, you might want to filter that through some common sense. Okay, just say that. But one might be hard pressed to say, well, is any news nowadays completely unbiased? Well, probably not. But at any rate, I did a search and I just typed in Christian in the search bar. I encourage you to do this yourself. Not right now. Let's pay attention. But because I know some of you, as way leads on to way, right, you'll start Google searching, and then before long, you're watching kittens on YouTube. So I typed in Christian, and the results that I got, the majority of them were derogatory, negative, sometimes violent things toward Christians and Christianity. We'll talk more about this in the upcoming weeks. But Lady Gaga was taking issue with Mike Pence's wife and her affiliation with a school that was not promoting or would not promote homosexual rights. Lady Gaga, which we were all probably surprised, announced that she is a Christian woman and she knows what Christian values are about. I'll let that settle in on you for a moment. Because we all know she's the one that we all look to, you know. We all ask ourselves that question, right? I find myself in a situation. What would Lady Gaga do? You've never done that. You've never asked that. And I would recommend that you don't start, okay? We find all sorts of negative things about Christianity. I found, you know, Christianity is a threat to our culture. Christians are opposed to what we want to do in our democracy. All sorts of negative stuff about Christianity. Buried over on page 3, I did find one thing. It said this. The headline was, Iranian Christians refuse to denounce Jesus in exchange for their freedom from jail. And I read that, and I read all this other stuff. And let's just ask, which one is closest to true Christianity? Biblically, Iranian Christians refuse to denounce Jesus in exchange for their freedom. That's the closest thing we find to biblical Christianity. But I say all that to say this. We live in a culture that is growing increasingly oppositional to Christianity. The reason that is the case is because we live in a culture that is growing increasingly hostile to the things of God. And if we are his representatives, his true biblical representatives, then we are going to experience that opposition. That's just the reality. That's the reality that we find all throughout the New Testament. The New Testament was written at a time when Christianity was being oppressed, when Christianity was not some sort of mainstream religion where everyone embraced it and everybody thought it was a great idea. You look at the early apostles, you look at how they were beaten, how they gave their lives, how they were martyred, and then from that point on, we find people being martyred all throughout history. Fox's Book of Martyrs is a well-known compilation of very famous cases of people who were martyred for their faith. And that is the world in which we live. And it's kind of strange for us in modern-day America, because if you look at the statistics, up until 1948, around 90% of the people said, "I am a Christian." And if you were to trace that all the way back, that number would sort of hold, even though they didn't do polls, but based upon kind of data, they could look back and probably representatively speaking, that number would hold pretty much true all the way back to the founding of our nation. So, but now we find ourselves as strangers in a strange land. Now we find ourselves living in a culture that is growing increasingly oppositional to the things of Christ. So how are we to live in that sort of culture? Now remember last week as we started this series called Weird, we said that there is the culture of the world, and let's imagine that is one sphere, and there is the culture of the church, and let's imagine that is another sphere, and then there's the culture of Christ, of living biblically for Christ, and that's yet another sphere. And the idea is that we want to be as much involved with that culture of Christ as possible. Not to say that we don't relate to culture at all, because Christ related to culture, but he related to it from his perspective. But I mentioned last week that sometimes within the church, we take our preferences and our expectations and our opinions, and we form a culture around those instead of around Christ. And then the world's culture looks at the church culture and says, "That's weird." And even Jesus sometimes looks at church culture and says, "That's weird. That's not me." Because what is weird for Jesus is normal for the world. And what is weird for the world is normal and the standard for Jesus. And so we want to live for Christ. And that will mean that sometimes some of the things that we do just seems weird to the world. And if you missed last week, I invite you to go back on our website or check us out on Facebook, and you can go back and listen. Because we talked about the weirdness of the gospel. We talked about how strange the message of Christ is. But today I want us to talk about how we are to transmit that message in this strange world. Because God says that we are called to be his ambassadors. So if you will look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we find Paul writing. We're going to start with verse 18. "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, 'In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.'" Let me just go ahead and say, and get a theological point here, which all of these points are kind of are theological points, but a point to doctrine here, where Paul mentions multiple times in this passage reconciliation or reconciled. Every time you read that word reconciliation, every time you see that word reconciled, think to yourself, brought back into right relationship. That's the idea of reconciliation, to be brought back into right relationship. And so Paul says that he has been given the ministry of reconciliation, the message of reconciliation. That is, that God is reconciling people to himself. Now, this is an important distinction. Never in the Bible does it say God is reconciled to us. It always refers to we are reconciled to God. Why? Because God has not done anything wrong. We are the ones who are out of relationship with God, and God brings us back into right relationship with Himself. God is never reconciled to us. You've heard me probably talk about the story of the old farmer that was driving along with his wife in their old truck with the old bench seat. And she was leaning against the passenger door, and she looked over at him and she said, "You know, I remember when we first got married, we would ride along together, and you would have your arm around me and you would kiss me on the cheek, and we came to stoplights and I was just close enough just to lay my head on your shoulder." He just looked right out through the windshield and he said, "I haven't gone anywhere." She had moved over to the passenger door. He was still in the driver's seat. We have to be brought back into right relationship with God because God hasn't gone anywhere. And so Paul says, as an ambassador of Christ, as a representative of Christ, he has this ministry of reconciliation, and he is to go and he is to make that message known. So what does that look like for us? Well, it looks like what it looked like for Paul. So let's look in verse 5. First of all, we understand that so far as an ambassador is concerned, the country is not our home. If you're an ambassador, the country that you are in is not your home country. Look at verse 5. All this, verse 18 of chapter 5. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them and entrusting to us. The world is out of sync with God. And the world that we are in, this country that we are in as ambassadors, is not our home. We don't go fully native in this country, in this world, in this culture. Why? Because it's not our home. Jesus is talking to Pontius Pilate. Jesus has been arrested. He's brought before Pilate, Roman governor. And Pilate starts questioning him about, they say that you're a king. Are you a king? Did you say you're a king? Listen to what Jesus says in John 18, verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." We are representatives of this heavenly country, and the country in which we live, the land in which we live, the world in which we live, it's not our ultimate home. What does an ambassador do? An ambassador lives in one country and represents another. That's what we do in the world. We are citizens of heaven if we are followers of Christ. And we are to follow him and we are to represent him. We live by the standards of our king as we live in this country that's not our home. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, Paul writes, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." We're not strangers and aliens from a life of God, but now we have been brought into the household of God and we are citizens of heaven. But we're living in a different country. So we have to understand, what does it mean to live in that way? Now, let me go ahead and say, I love America. And I know many of you love America. I hope all of us love America. We love America. But there is a very big difference in saying, I am a Christian American and I am an American Christian. And I know you said, that's just semantics. No, if you say you're a Christian American, you're saying what you are ultimately is an American. And Christian just describes you. But when we say, well, I'm an American Christian, Christian being what defines us. Now I know, and if you say, well, I'm an American Christian, well, I'm not saying we should fault anybody for that. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying that mindset, there is a difference in those two. Because one, if you're ultimately an American and that is the source of who you are, then that Christian label, that could change. You could be all sorts of other things. But whenever we say, I'm an American Christian, We're saying, first and foremost, I'm a Christian. I just happen to live in America. Because we have there are Chinese Christians. There are Iranian Christians we just talked about. There are Brazilian Christians. There are people who live somewhere else, but yet they're all of the same ultimate home, all the same country as we are. Now, with that in mind, let me explain. Sometimes it's very difficult to know how do we live with kind of this dual citizenship. How do we live as citizens of heaven, but yet at the same time, I mean, in an earthly way, we are citizens of America. And so how do we navigate that? And moreover, how do we navigate speaking to others about the gospel, about the message of Christ whenever we go out? Now, here's something that we need to bear in mind. If you have shared the gospel in recent years, you have probably found that it has become increasingly difficult to do so. And I know some people say, well, it's always been difficult. But the culture has shifted. The culture has changed. It is different now. And we find that there are places where, all around the world, that the gospel is spreading like wildfire. Africa, Asia, those are two areas where the gospel is absolutely spreading in an amazing, miraculous way. But here's one of the keys. And I'm not dismissing the work of God. But many of those people who are coming to Christ have never heard the gospel before. I talked to one of my friends. He's the president of a missionary organization. And I had lunch with him recently, and we sat down, and we were catching up and over at Christmas time. And he said, it's amazing when I go to these different little villages and we share the gospel, and they've never heard the gospel. And he said, the most common response that we get, that our teams get, whenever I tell them about Jesus, and I say, and I explain what he did, and I explain the message of the gospel, and I say, would you like to make a decision to follow Christ? He said, more often than not, the response is this: how could I not want to do this? If Jesus did this, I've never heard this. If this Jesus did this and God sent his son, how could I not want that? And that's what we find more and more in a lot of these nations. People responding in that way. But then you have America. And America is much harder and it's much tougher because many people in America have come in with half lies and these false assumptions of what Christians are, who God is, and the nature of the church, and the nature of what it means to follow Jesus. And so now they've got these wrong notions about Christianity, as evidenced by those news reports. And so there's all these wrong notions, and instead of just coming in with sort of a blank slate where they know about creation, and as Romans tells us, creation attests to the goodness and the existence of and the glory of God, we have a group of people who have been exposed to it and have chosen to reject it, and now we are called to go reach them. So I'm just letting you know, it's a much harder people than people who have never heard the gospel before. Now, I don't usually do this. I think there may have been maybe two or three times the entire time that I've been here that I have ever mentioned a book and just said, you need to get that book and read it. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and say, I am not receiving anything for the promotion of said book whatsoever, all right? Nothing at all for this. But there is a book, I'm about to quote from it, by a man named John Dickerson. It's called Hope of Nations. And if you want to understand what's going on in the world today so far as how this is going to impact the church presently and in the future, I would really recommend Hope of Nations by John Dickerson. It is a must read. I think it should be required reading for all Christians. It is absolutely an incredibly well-documented, well-researched book that goes into a lot of this explanation of what's going on in culture and then how are we to respond to it, all right? And I gave a copy to one of my ministry friends, and my ministry friend said, "Aren't you glad, though, you live in a place like Brookhaven where you don't have to worry about stuff like that?" Okay, listen, y'all. Brookhaven and the church in general may change a little more slowly than culture, but let me tell you, the temperature of the water has changed in culture. The tides have changed in culture, and eventually it will come into the church even more and more, regardless of where you find yourself. But John Dickerson, I mention this because John Dickerson talks about being an ambassador, and one of the things that he says is that so often we in the church, Christians, we have this idea. Well, we ask the question, how can I love my neighbor who does not know Christ without them thinking that I am condoning their sin? Maybe you've asked yourself that question before. How do I love them as God says to love them, but I don't want them to think that I condone their sin? I don't want them to think that I agree with what they're doing. Because many times we use that as an excuse to not get involved with it. It's like, that's kind of a messy situation. They're kind of involved in some things. So I'm just going to separate myself from them. And then we pull up some sort of verse of the Bible about we should separate ourselves from those people. The idea of separating yourselves from those people, the idea is separating yourselves from people within the church. Actually, it's not even separating yourself from them. It's separating them from you. People within the church who continue to live in sin and division. Because Paul goes on to mention, you'd have to go out of the world if you were supposed to be away from sinful people. How else are they going to hear unless God's representatives, ambassadors, go and let it be known the message of hope? But John Dickerson makes this statement. How do you address that idea that we have within the church? What if they think I'm condoning their sin? This is worth it just for this. He said this, missionaries who visit foreign tribes rarely worry about whether the tribe will perceive the missionary as condoning their cannibalism or polygamy. The missionary digs a well for the cannibals, not worrying if they will be perceived as approving of cannibalism. Here's the answer. The old Christian question, will people perceive my love as condoning their sin, is a question from a Christianized culture in which people had a concept of sin and condoning it, and in which people sought Christian approval. The world around us has moved beyond all of that. It doesn't even use these words or this paradigm, nor does it seek our approval as Christians. That's the reality. If you're asking yourself, what if they think I'm condoning their sin? They don't care. They don't care what you think. It does not matter to them. And I know for many of us who grew up in the church, that seems very hard to understand. It really doesn't enter into their thinking. What enters into their thinking is, I have my notion of good and bad. I have my notion of right and wrong. And what you say or don't say really has no impact upon me whatsoever. That's the reality. But we are called to live as ambassadors to a world that desperately needs to know him. So, first of all, the country is not our home. Secondly, the message is not our own. Look at verse 20 of chapter 5. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The message is not our own. Notice what he says. God is making his appeal through us. The message of the gospel doesn't originate with you. The message of the gospel doesn't originate with me. We are ambassadors, so we are to report the message from the home country. That's what we are to do. We are to faithfully represent our home country. Well, what if they reject the message? Well, think about that. What if an ambassador went to a foreign country? And one of our ambassadors had a message from our country to these foreign governmental officials, and they reported the message. And then the official said, nope, we reject that. Would the ambassador be a failure? No. Because the role of the ambassador is faithfully represent the country. The ambassador can't help it if the people in that country reject or accept the message. All that ambassador can do is, this is faithful to the message I was given to transmit in this country as a representative of my leader, of my ruler, in our case, of our king. The message is not our own. We don't have that luxury. The full authority is because of Christ. Ambassadors, you notice this? Ambassadors are not voted on. You don't see that on a ballot. We're going to vote on an ambassador. You don't see that. They are appointed and then they are sent. That's what happens with an ambassador. So we are appointed and we are sent. And ambassadors are under the authority of the country that sends them. This is why when we talk about the Great Commission that's found in Matthew chapter 28, sometimes we pick up with verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. That's not where you start. You start with verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, because all authority has been given to me, because I have all authority on heaven or on earth and in heaven, I've got all the authority. So now that I have the authority, you go. Because I have the authority, I have the authority to send you out. Because the message is not our own. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. We don't speak with our own authority. We speak with the authority of our ruler. We don't speak our own opinion. We speak the message that comes from our heavenly nation. That's what God has sent us to do. We are to be his, as Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians, we are to be imitators of Christ. Just as Paul is an imitator of Christ, we are to be imitators of Christ. We are to be his representatives. And if you had an ambassador, by the way, if you had an ambassador, and that ambassador was sent to a country, and that ambassador said, I'm never leaving the embassy, that ambassador would be a very, very poor ambassador. But within the church in America, so many of us have been sent as ambassadors and we are content to hide in the embassy. That's not what God has called us to do. He's called us to be representatives to the nation that he sends us to. That's what we are to do. That's our role as ambassadors for Christ. And we are to be his ambassadors at great cost. Regardless of the cost, we are to be his ambassadors. You find that Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, he says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Paul's message is not his own. If your message is your own, you know what you'll do? Same thing I do sometimes. If I start to think the gospel is my own message, then I'll start to get anxious. Well, what if I share with them and they end up rejecting it? Well, they're not rejecting me. They're rejecting the message of the gospel. I'm not saying that should make me feel better. I'm just saying I need to separate myself. That grieves me even more. They're rejecting the gospel. I'd rather them reject me than reject the gospel. Receive the message of Christ and reject me as a person, and that's okay with me. But the idea that we tie up ourselves and our own self-worth and all sorts of other things into this idea of, well, what if I share the gospel and they reject it? Oh, so maybe I just better not share the gospel. Where do you think they're going to go? Hell number two? There's no other option. I hate to be glib, but I'm just saying. I mean, they're already separated from Christ. Share the gospel for goodness sake. Be an ambassador for goodness sake. That may be the only time they hear the gospel. Share it. Tell them. I mean, if you don't tell them, who's going to tell them? Oh, well, I believe somebody else will tell them. Well, God sent you. I can't tell you the number of times I've heard people tell me. They'll come to my office. They'll call me on the phone. I've had this for the last 12 plus years of ministry. I've had people call me. It usually happens like once every 6 or 7 months. Somebody will call or they'll stop me and they'll say, I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray that I'm getting a better job. More money, better location, what? Well, I'm just surrounded by a bunch of non-Christians. And I'm the only Christian there at my workplace. So will you just pray that God will send me somewhere where I'm surrounded by Christians? And I always tell them the same thing. I am not going to pray that for you. Why would I pray that for you? Who's going to live for Christ in front of them if you leave? Yeah, but it weighs on me. What weighs on you? Well, the language they use and the things they talk about and everything. I just think they really need somebody to just show Jesus to them. Why do you think you're there? Live it out in front of them. So if you come to me and say, I'm just surrounded by a bunch of non-Christians, pray that I'll get another job where I'm surrounded by Christians. No, I'm not going to pray that. And then sometimes I have people say, I would just like to work at a church where I don't have to worry about all this. Yeah. We could have bring a member to work day. Let some of you take the phone calls I take on a regular basis. See how you like it. Your prayer for your pastor would increase. Anyway, moving on. You can't be a good ambassador if you're not representing. You can't be a good ambassador if you always stay in the embassy. You can't be a good ambassador if you're not being faithful to transmit the message that is not your own. The country is not our home. The message is not our own. And here's the other truth. The stay is not long. Your stay in country is not long. Well, it lasts a lifetime. That is not long. Look at verse 1 of chapter 6. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The stay is not long. We are sent here for a time. This world is not, you remember that old song, this world is not our home, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. It's true. I remember whenever I was a certain age, and I can't remember the exact age, but I'm just saying kind of an age range when I was probably a teenager. And I remember thinking, like, man, my life is never going to start. My life, it seems like everything's just going so slow. Am I ever going to get out of high school? Am I ever going to finish college? Some of you know what happens, right? There's this moment, and then suddenly you go, whoa, 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 whoa. When did life hit fast forward? Because it goes from like slow-mo to fast-forward. There's no like normal space in between. There's no like normal speed. Suddenly it's like fast-forward, and then it just keeps going faster and faster and faster. Years into his life, someone asked Billy Graham, was there anything that surprised you about life? He said, yes, the brevity of it. Your stay is not long as an ambassador. We have a limited amount of time to do what God has called us to do. And now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. Talk to people sometimes and they'll say, I'll come to Jesus later. I remember a gentleman I talked to one time, talked to him about Christ. This is what he said. Let me tell you my plan. My plan is I'm going to live my life by worldly standards and do what I want to and enjoy everything the world has to offer. And then on my deathbed, right before I kick off into the great beyond, I'm going to pray and ask Jesus to save me. So I'll have the best the world can offer, and I'll have all that heaven can give, all rolled into one. That's my plan. I said, well, that assumes a few things. It assumes, A, that you are going to be on your deathbed and you will be fully cognizant and aware, and that there will actually be a progression of time by which you find yourself entering into that great beyond, as you call it. And that assumes that you're not going to die of a heart attack or a car wreck or a lightning strike. I just threw that last one in just for his sake. I said, so that just presumes that. He said, well, but I'm willing to take those chances. I said, let me give you another truth. By the time you reach that point, your heart may be so hard that you don't even respond to God anymore. Because every time you say no, there's another layer of hardness. Every time you say no and reject him, there's another layer, another wall that goes up, another shell that goes up. And once you reach that point, there is no guarantee. Because now is the appropriate time. Now is the appointed time. Now is the right time. Now, today, Now is the time of salvation. Now. Because your stay is not long. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles. Now, wait a minute. I thought we weren't exiles. Well, now we're not exiles from the life of God. We were exiled from God. We were aliens from the life of God, from his citizenship in heaven. Now we've been brought into citizenship in heaven, but now we're considered exiles from the world. I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Glorify God on the day of visitation. That because of our lifestyle, because of us being ambassadors and our stay is short, because of us living in the right way, we are able to share the gospel and we convey the message of Christ, the message of hope to a world that needs it. And because of that, many of them come to know Christ. We are called to live that way. I'll leave you with this. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, this is what Paul writes. Brothers, join in imitating me. Remember we said that Paul is imitating Christ, and so Paul is saying, I'm trying to leave you an example to follow. Join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I've often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Listen to verse 19. See if this doesn't speak to our culture today. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, their own sinful desires. That's that idea of belly. And they glory in their shame. And with minds set on earthly things. But, here's the contrast, our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. The stay is not long. So two things. The first one is this. If you you're living by the standards of the world, and you have never made a decision to follow Christ, God is saying, now is the day of salvation. Today. Don't wait. You are not promised a deathbed. You are not promised a deathbed experience. You are not promised tomorrow. You're not promised the next hour. You need to be ready to meet God regardless. Oh, well, I'll do that later. I have more important things to do. You don't have anything more important than that. There is nothing more important than that. Nothing. Jesus Christ came and lived a perfect, sinless life so that we could be reconciled, brought back into right relationship with God. He did that. We were out of relationship with him. He came, sent his son to bring us back to himself. That such was his love, such was his mercy, such was his desire. And he did that, sent his son, died on a cross, so that we could be reconciled to Christ. If you've never been reconciled to him, today's the day of salvation. Now's the time. Don't wait. When we have our time here, you can pray where you are. You can come talk to one of us up front. Talk to someone. If you're a student or you're a young person, you want to talk to your parent, you want to talk to your friend, whomever. Do it. Today's the day of salvation. Number two, if you know Christ already, you're called to be an ambassador. I talked to a guy one time and he said, I'm not called to be an ambassador, I'm called to be a seat warmer. That's what he told me. So I'm just called to just show up on Sunday and warm a seat. That's what God has called me to. I said, well, two things. Number one, that's not what he says. Number two, if that's your only desire, I think you need to check and see if you really know him. Because he's called you to something more than that. He's called you to be an ambassador to a world. You got neighbors, you got coworkers, you got people that you meet on a regular basis. They need to see that message. And I know we say, oh yeah, you know, I get, and we love our mission trips. We love going on mission trips here. But listen, sometimes it's a whole lot easier to get on a plane to go to Central America and live among a bunch of people that you don't know for a week and share the message of Christ with them. That's a lot easier than living for Christ day by day in front of your classmates and your workmates. But you are here now. You've been called to a missionary as an ambassador here, now, all the time. Whether you find yourself in Central America or where you find yourself at the high school or you find yourself in your office building, among your family reunions, hello. I mean, I go to my family reunions, I'm like, my goodness, y'all, please, some of y'all need Jesus, right? I mean, I can say that, it's my family reunion, you know, I'm like, goodness sake, right? We got family members who need Christ, co-workers, fellow students who need Christ. Classmates need Christ. We are called to be ambassadors. We are called to be strangers in a strange land. And next week, we're going to look at how God gives us the power to do everything that He commands us to do. We have not been left on our own to do it. He will aid you, help you, empower you to be an ambassador. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the message of hope. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you that we're not left to our own devices. We're thankful this is not our country. This is not the end game. This is not our final destination. This country, it's not our ultimate home. And the message that you've given us, we didn't dream it up. It's not our own message. It's your message. We're to be faithful transmitting that in the short time that we have, because our stay isn't long. God, may we redeem the time. May we make the most of the time you have given us. May we not squander it on far lesser things. God, send us out. You've sent us, but may we be faithful in going out and answering your call. The Great Commission is not just for missionaries to a foreign country on our planet. The Great Commission is the commission for all who call your name, whether it's here at home or abroad. We are to be your ambassadors. We are constantly, always, forever, until you return at least, we are on mission. Father, help us to understand that and embrace that and step out by faith, recognizing that you go before us. And Father, I pray for anybody here who needs to make a decision. For them, today's the day of salvation. Now's the time. Pray that you would give them boldness. Whether they're talking to someone next to them or they want to talk to one of us during our invitation, after service, whatever. Father, we just pray that you would give them boldness to do what you've called them to do. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and all the glory. And it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. In this time, some of us will be up front. If you need to pray, you can come to the altar and pray. If you want to talk to one of us about what it means to follow Christ, if you need us to pray with you, we'll be more than happy to do that. You respond to God in this time as He leads.